Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, this evening, even as we are in your presence, O God, we thank you, Father, that you enabled us to be here. You gave us the strength, you gave us life. Even as we are here, O God, touch our ears that we may hear your voice. Touch our hearts, O God, that we may receive what you have set before us today. No, Father, everything is winding up. There's threats around the world, O God. Your word says that the midnight hour you will come. Help us to be ready. Help us to be prepared always. Each one of us, prepare and ready to meet the Master, our Savior, our Lord. Speak to us, O Lord. We commit all the brethren who are here, all those who have gone out of station, all our dear brethren around the world, especially those who are in the hospital. Oh Father, we commit them into thy hands. Touch them, Lord. Little John and little Anne, Auntie Maria, touch them, Lord. Touch them, Brad. Touch them. Touch them. Touch our brethren, Lord. Touch them. Let them rise from their sickbed and continue ministering unto you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Continue our study from the book of Judges. We've been looking at Gideon. It sound bad. Last week we looked at as to why. How is it possible that he could start off so well and end up like that? We saw so many people in the Bible. So many people in the Bible do not end well. Many begin well, but they do not end well. And Gideon is one of them. If you look at Judges chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12, look at the way this man, young man, begins. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abzarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." That's how we begin. That's how his account begins in the Bible. Here is a man humble, hiding in the winepress, and there he is. And the angel of the Lord comes and declares to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." But when he ends in Judges chapter 8 and verse 27, we see another story. 8:27. Gideon made an effort thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither, a warring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. This is how his account ends. His account ends this way, saying, he made this effort, and the whole of Israel went into haltry because of a golden effort he made. And there's something that talks about both him and his family. It says that very golden effort became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. We need to ask ourselves, are the things that we worshipping becoming a snare to us and to our house? All of Israel was led astray, but it's more than as far as Gideon and his house is concerned. It says they were snared by the golden effort. A snare is a trap. He and his subsequent generations, his house, was trapped by this golden effort that he has made. So why is it that once we have attained our victories, we don't focus on finishing the race? We saw from last week, last Wednesday, Apostle Paul standing firm till the end. We need to understand, so did all the other apostles. All, if you know, except for John, died as martyrs. Simple reason, they refused to compromise with this world or with the ruler of this world. Remember, our study is around that, the snare of this world. The question we ask is, why is that Gideon rises up in faith and does such mighty deeds and then just fades away? And if you look back in history, this is the truth about so many people in church history. This is a fact about so many churches too. And we ask our question, how will we end as individuals? How will we end as a church? The last words of Gideon doesn't declare glory. It almost looks like folly. Return with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. A whole list of examples are given over there in Corinthians from the history of Israel and says they were given to us as examples. To us as examples. That we shouldn't lust after them as they lusted after that. And those things are called evil things. Remember, Israel was God's chosen people. And so are we as a church, Jesus' chosen people. God had rescued them. Once they were rescued, once we cry out to God because of our trouble, and we are rescued out of our trouble, immediately we think we know best what to do next. Israel thought they could make their own choices in life and set their hearts on whatever they wanted. They could do whatever they pleased. Let me tell you honestly, this has been our story for a long time. Whenever we ran into trouble, we cry out to God like Israel. Once God gave us our victory, we immediately went back and thought, I can do things my way. And this is where both Israel and the church have failed. You know why this happens? Let us look at John 3:60 in a different way. Not scripturally. Okay? Not scripturally. Let's look at John 3:60. We know this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I look at it, read it this way, has a very real, warped way of looking at this 3:16. Very warped reading. For God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, till almost 500 years ago, everyone believed that this universe, the sun, the planets, the sun, the planets revolved around the earth. Then in 1543, if you know, Copernicus told that the earth was not the center of the universe. 50 years later, Galileo said that the planets revolve around the sun. They were so angry with that idea that they threw him into prison and kicked him out of the church. Do you know why they were so upset with Galileo? With this idea that the earth was not the center of the universe. Just imagine, just 500 years ago, till 500 years ago, everybody believed the center of this universe was the earth. The very idea that we are not the center of the universe is unthinkable. Think about it personally. The very fact that I am not the center of everything is so difficult to believe. We take John 3:16 and read it completely, that for God so loved the world, the center of everything is the world and not God. The world is so important that He even disposed His Son for the sake of the world. We change the whole gospel where the gospel becomes now man-centric instead of God-centric. It's not about God, it's about man. How we can read John 3:16 and change the whole thing around. And you know what? We can bring it down to a very smaller scale in our day-to-day life. When a baby is born, he or she is a source of immense joy. And everybody's attention in the family is on the baby.
Even the most serious looking father will be crawling on his knees and cooing to that baby. And the baby grows up thinking it is the center of the world. Every little cry is attended to immediately. Everybody's job is to make that baby happy and comfortable. And then one day there is a sudden rude awakening. And a series of rude awakenings that you are not the center of the world. Especially that happens when the next child comes. That's why sibling rivalry comes. What's the reason? Till yesterday I had all the attention. Now I am not the center of attention. Israel and the church make the same mistake. They think it's all about us. Israel thinks it's all about us. And the church thinks it's all about us and not about God. And that's a mistake Gideon makes. Gideon thinks, I rescued the people. It's not God. It's I rescued the people. I took revenge on all who refused to help me. Are you looking back? You understand what he did? Now I need to keep the focus on myself. Lights, camera on me and not on God. If lights and camera is upon God, then the effort is in Shiloh. If lights and camera is on me, the effort has to be in front of my house. That's why he made a golden ephod and put it in his house, in his city called Ophrah. We have changed the center of the universe. The center of the universe is no longer God, it is man. We need to keep asking ourselves, this is one issue which Israel and the church struggles with. People, make a golden ephod. Keep it in front of your house and the attention will still be upon you. Read Judges 8:27 again closely. It says, and Gideon put an ephod thereof and put it in his city. It's no longer God's city. God's city is in Shiloh, in his city. But in the process, you led a whole nation into harlotry. And now it has become a snare to you and to your own home. Now, things that we put before the people, we have to be very, very careful. Things we put before the people, because all of us minister at one level or other in our homes, in our workplaces. Everybody is a witness, a testimony, our ministry. But what is that we are putting before the people? Are we putting something before the people, a testimony, a witness, which will bring them closer to God, or a snare which will lead them to harlotry? If it is a gospel that is focused on man, it will lead to harlotry, ultimately. If it is a gospel focused on God, then true deliverance and endurance will result. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23. A few questions we need to ask. Few questions we need to ask. All things are lawful for me. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Doesn't mean his wealth, means his interest. Don't seek another's wealth, okay? There are a few fundamental questions we need to keep asking to find whether the gospel that we preach, the gospel that we witness, the gospel that we believe is true or not. Because this is connected with our interaction with the world. Question to ask. Even if it is not actually sin, will it be a weight to somebody else? For me or someone else? Will it be a weight? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. It doesn't build up another brother or a sister. You have the freedom to do a lot of stuff, God says. It may not be sin for you, but you may make somebody else sin. Putting up a golden ephod in Ophrah in itself is not sin, but it led a whole lot of people into sin. Romans 14:23.
15 and verse 23. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. It's a simple thing called eating over there. We know this verse. Whatever is not of faith is sin. We will connect it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. You have liberty. But be very careful that your liberty doesn't become a stumbling block to somebody else. Questions we ask is that I have liberty in the Lord. I can do a whole lot of stuff maybe which doesn't snare me. I can keep a golden ephod in front of my house, but I'm still worshipping the living God. What about the others? A whole lot of stuff that we do. Will it snare somebody else? Because it doesn't make any difference to me. It may not make any difference to you. But you are all put up there in the world, in the workplaces, where it's a secular, so-called secular environment. Is it becoming a stumbling block to somebody else? The question, the first question to ask is this. Is it a stumbling block to somebody else? Am I, what I am doing, is it becoming a stumbling block to somebody else? Second question to ask, Colossians 1:17. It's a very simple question when people come, young Christians come and ask. It's a very simple answer to give. They have a lot of doubts from this. Is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's before and in him. The simple question you ask this is, can it be done in Jesus' name? Can it be done in Jesus' name? Whatever you're doing, the simple question, litmus test, can it be done in Jesus' name? Whatever it is in your office or workplace or college or university or whatever, at the end of whatever you are doing, can you really say, in the name of Jesus? Can you really, really say, in the name of Jesus? Amen. And the other person should be able to say, Amen. Getting the picture? Can it be done as unto the Lord and not unto men? Can it be done that way? Scripture talks about it. Doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Can it be done? You know what Gideon did at the end? In the beginning he did everything unto God. Do you know how he started? Everything was unto God. When God told him, break the altar in front of your father's house, he did it unto God. He was so scared he did it at night. Everything he did from the beginning was unto God. At the end he turned around and did it unto man. And that's where he fell. And God is saying, can we really say it is unto God or unto man? Even after the throne is being taken away from King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30, look at what his cry is. His cry is not unto God. His cry is unto man. 15:30. And then he said to the prophet Samuel, he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I know I have sinned against God. I agree to what you say, but please honor me now. Please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I might worship the Lord. The Lord, your God. Please, I'll return with you and worship God. But first, please, it's the people. It's the people. Honor me before the people. The things that we do is unto people or is unto God. God is asking this question. We need to ask these questions, because sometimes when you ask this question, the answer is very clear. A lot of young people will come and ask, where is it written in the Bible you cannot smoke? Simple answer, smoke unto Jesus. Can you smoke unto Jesus? Is wrong in going for this party where they'll be dancing? Can you dance unto Jesus? If you think you can do, you don't have to give a biblical answer with scripture and all, which there are scriptures. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Questions, a lot of young people here, a lot of young people will hear. The questions they ask, what is so wrong? Ask unto Jesus. This is only for believers. It's got nothing to do with the world. To a separated people. Then what are you separating from? What are you separating unto? Second question we need to ask, the next question, third question we need to ask is, whatever I am doing, is it of the Father? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Is it of the Father? 16. For all that is in the world, okay, a list is given. We looked at this in detail. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the question to ask is it of the Father or is it of the world? Is it of the Father or is it of the world? How do you know? What is what? You can take this very Bible and turn it around. You can keep reading the Bible to see what can I do in the world and what I cannot do in the world. Or turn it around and read the Bible to know what is that, that the Father wants of me. You can do the same thing two different ways. Most people look to, is it written what I can't do? Or is it written how do I please the Father? The question God is asking is that, the question we ask is, all that is in the world is not of the Father. It's not of the Father. It's not talking about general things like eating and working. It's not talking about that. We know what it is. Though we pretend that we don't understand, we all know what it is. Because we wouldn't have so many excuses and reasons to offer why we don't do certain things. Are we getting the picture? Ephesians 5:16. Another question to ask. Question. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What is it? There's one thing that is common about all of us. Every one of us. All of us got only 24 hours today. One common denominator. Everybody gets only 24 hours every day. Not a minute more, not a second more. Doesn't matter whether you're Obama or sitting on the street, 24 hours. That's all you get. And God says, you know what? Could you be able to give an account of your time? Simple question. Was it worth my time? Was it worth my time, whatever I did? Was it worth it? Whatever I spent on, was it worth it? Going to Ophrah, to the effort at Ophrah instead of Shiloh, people have a lot of reasons. Lot of reasons to give. Question God asks is, was it worth your time? How did you spend your time? Was it worth it? Think about today. Actually look back today and see the way we spent our time. It's a holiday season for a whole lot of young children and younger people. It's holiday. So we have turned the whole concept about a holiday and what we should do in the holidays. God is asking, in this eternity, whatever you did today, was it worth the time? Did you redeem the time? Time has to be redeemed. God says, I've given you 24 hours. In that 24 hours, did you redeem the time? Think back and ask this question. What did I do today which will be counted in eternity? What have I done today in this 18 hours or 19 hours or 20 hours so far which will be counted in eternity? What is that I have done that is eternal? Did I redeem the time? Because scripture says the days are evil. From that moment, after he built the ephod, the rest of Gideon's story is not written at all. He did not redeem the time. The time is gone. 20 years, 30 years, it's gone. Just gone. As far as Gideon's world is concerned, everybody comes to his house. He's the big man over there. His children are the big people over there. Everybody is coming to Ophrah, worshipping around the ephod, everything. But you know what? God doesn't even put one line there. He did not redeem 20 years. Just gone. He's asking us this question. We're all going through phases. We all know, we have heard over and over, the end is getting closer and closer and closer. If it is not the end of the world, it is our end. One end is coming anyway. And it can be any moment.
And if so, God is asking, did you redeem your time? How did you spend your time? What happens if you go through great sacrifice and dedication, and it is only to worship a golden effort where the presence of God wasn't there? Imagine all the people around who really fasted and came to Ophrah and worshipped at the golden effort and sought the face of God over there. There was sacrifice, dedication, everything, but it was false. They must have thought, we redeemed the time. But God says, no, you did not redeem the time. If we've been worshipping a gospel that is man-centric, and all these years we gave so much of our time and energy and money, everything into a gospel, which was actually false. It was not much about God, it was about us. Not about God, it's not about us. There's very little of sacrifice in those gospels we hear. It's about how it is God's main duty to keep us happy and content with good complexion, good health. It's all about us. That God is supposed to do all these things for us and not the other way. How quickly the gospel has changed and how we like that gospel. We love that gospel. But we don't realize the place has been shifted from Shiloh to Ophrah, and the effort has been exchanged. It is golden, so it appeals to our eyes. If it had been an old, little dirty, white effort over there, people would have doubted, is this the real thing? But it's golden, it's shining. It appeals to the flesh. Really, really appeals to the flesh. And God is asking us, how did we redeem? Do you think it will be counted at the end? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all, it's talking about believers, okay? It's not talking about the other, that's a different judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The things which I did today, God says, will you be able to stand before me on judgment day and give an account? Today. Let's leave yesterday and tomorrow aside. Today. When we go through our day-to-day lives, are we aware of this fact that one day, actually, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body? There are things that I do today for which I will receive reward another day, or lose the reward that was set before me. Receive or lose, one of the things are going to happen. And there's everything is recorded. There's nothing that's going to be missed. 24 hours, everything is recorded. And if you're missed and you repent, come under the blood, it is not marked. But if you haven't, it's all recorded. This is not to make us afraid of our salvation. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about, really talking about overcoming and about rewards. Are you ready to face it in judgment? Then how come we so easily believe this gospel which says God understands and it is all right? When scripture actually tells, that's not true. That's not true. This is not what the gospel talks about. Let us look at one of the most common and so-called harmless activity of the 21st century. Millions upon millions and millions are hooked to the screen. Not this screen, but something like this. There are large screens, 70mm, IMAX, small, internet, every kind of screen is there. You know how many billions are hooked onto it day and night? They are hooked onto it. All of us sitting here accept one fact. It is accepted that most of the characters who are seen on the screen have very questionable reputations. We accept it? Hollywood, or Bollywood, Tollywood, Mollywood, whatever it is, we all accept they have very, very questionable reputations. Two, the stuff we watch are usually full of sexual vices, including obscenity, profanity, and nudity. Christian asked is, do we really believe that we will be found blameless on the Lord's coming?
Scripture says, be found blameless on the day of the Lord's coming. If we choose deliberately to feed our eyes and our minds with this junk, week after week, month after month. Why do we take it so casually? Why do we think it is okay? Where did we get this idea from, it is alright? This stuff that wasn't there for 6,000 almost years. This is all stuff that came in the last 50 years. You know what Satan is called in the Bible? The prince of the air. He controls the airwaves, the radio and the TV, the broadcast. He controls it. Literally, what they wrote, they didn't really understand. It was meant about our time, the prince of the air. Want to do a test? Do this. Go back home, just as a test, okay? Not as practice. Watch anything on TV for 30 minutes. Anything. News or movie or anything. Then switch it off and try to pray. See, you will fail miserably. You cannot pray. Because your mind is full of false images and false dramas. And you find your mind cannot concentrate on anything of God. Let me read to you a quote from an actual book. You'll be interested. The birth of the TV was a magical event foreshadowing its satanic significance. TV infiltration has been so gradual, so complete that no one even noticed. People didn't need to go to church anymore. They got their morality plays on TV. I'll read it again. The birth of the TV was a magical event foreshadowing its satanic significance. TV infiltration has been so gradual, so complete that no one even noticed. People didn't need to go to church anymore. They got their morality plays on TV. You know who wrote this? Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, in his book, The Devil's Notebook. That is our instrument to trap this generation. He wrote it. It's not written by any pastor or preacher. It is written by Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, in his book, The Devil's Notebook. Are you getting it? How we are hooked. And we still struggle to come out of it. Now we move to a further stage from TV to what is called the internet. Daniel talks about internet, about how knowledge will expand in the last days. And we have it all on our fingertips. You don't have to go anywhere. All we need is a high-speed internet connection. You have knowledge on your fingertips. Internet is good. It's a source of vast information and knowledge. And we can use the instrument as a tool, like we do as a church, in this instrument to put the gospel across. But I'll tell you three levels of danger. One, it is easily accessible. All you need is what? Not this. This has no internet, nothing. Okay? But most of you have gadgets with internet on it. How much does it cost you for a month? 199? Cheapest? 90? 98, 90. You get low speed, but you get everything on that. Okay? Easily accessible. For TV, you need to be in one place. Seated in one place. And the screen is big. Your mom or your dad could come and see what you're watching. This is easy. You can sit in your bathroom, also check out what you want. Easily accessible. Two, it is anonymous. Nobody knows what you are up to. Plug in earphones and sit there and everybody will thinking, oh, he's listening to a worship program. It's anonymous. Three, it's very cheap, it's affordable. Question young people should ask is, why am I going to the internet? Before you go, ask this question. Why am I going to the internet? Why? A lot of young people come to me struggling with issues. One of the first things I say is, unless it is not needed, get rid of your internet. Two, if you think you need it, how much would you spend on a pair of shoes? $2,000, $3,000 bucks. Invest and buy filters.
You get filters where you can filter off everything that is dangerous to you. Why wouldn't you invest in that? Third, I tell them in this church, make yourself accountable to another older brother or sister so that you protect yourself. Problem? Once you are addicted, it's very difficult to get out. What is the internet called? What is it called? Worldwide? And Satan is the spider. It's a world wide web. The spider is he, looking to see whom he can catch. You know how many billions and millions of people have been caught by him in that web? Well, all these things are neutral. They can become dangerous if we don't understand the purpose for what we are going to use it for. The thing is that we have to be very, very careful, because you are all believers. Some of you are much senior believers. And to whom much is given, much is required. You may watch something which may be okay for you, but may make somebody else stumble. So the best thing to do, you choose not to watch. It will come when God will tell you not to watch. Get rid of it. Don't watch at all. Is it permissible? Yes, it is. Is it beneficial? No, it is not. Does it edify? No, it doesn't edify. Because your mind is forever in conflict with what you're hearing in the church, what you're reading in your daily devotions, and what you're watching. It's always in conflict, and they never agree. Doesn't matter who made it, it doesn't agree. Thing goes for fiction too, books. Fiction. That's why it's called fiction. What is it? Fiction. In a whole generation of young girls have messed up their marriage because they grew up on Mills and Boone and thought that was real, without realizing that was fiction. Everybody is waiting for that man to come on that white horse and sweep you off your feet. Because that's how Barbara Cartland and Mills and Boone writes about everybody at the end of the story finds this man. And he's always tall, dark and handsome. And every proposal your father or your mother brings is short and dark. And you know what? It was fiction. I'm telling you the truth. Years back, the Lord told me, shut down. And I threw all my fiction out. All of them out. And I used to read and read and read and read. He said, you can either choose that or choose this. It's up to you. You choose that and this, it's not going to work. You want to watch this, how I minister to you, and you want to watch that, it's up to you. I stopped that too. Then you suddenly start hearing clearer and clearer and clearer. The focus is, why do you want all this? Unless you know the focus, you don't understand. You can't do these things because Pastor James said it. It will only last for 2 days or 2 weeks maximum. It won't last. Remember the illustration I gave you many weeks back? About an old man running the race at 70, 80, still as serious or more serious about God than the way he began 50 years back. And a young man came and asked him, Uncle, I want to know what's so different about you. Why are you still on the race with this God? How come your passion is so strong for God at 80? I don't see anybody like you. He said, son, sit down here. Let me tell you a story. He said, my dog last week ran after a rabbit. He saw a rabbit and ran. He chased this rabbit all around the valley, up the mountains, on the hills, and a whole pack of dogs started following. The poor rabbit was running, and there was this 100 dogs after him. And then after some time, one by one by one by one, the dogs started dropping off. Do you know who finished at the hole of the rabbit? The boy said, your dog. He said, yes, my dog. Do you know why he stopped at the hole? He said, no. He said, because he saw the rabbit. The others only heard the bark. All those who have seen him and decided, I want him, will finish the course. All those who heard the bark of those who saw him will give up after some time. So it's important that you see him. It's very, very important that you know him and see him and say, this is the focus of my life. I want him with all my heart, all my strength, and I'm not going to get distracted. I want him. This is the whole purpose. The whole purpose of this is God, not me. The center of the universe is not me, it is Jesus. It's about Him, it's not about me. His job is not to keep me happy, that's a byproduct. It's my job to give Him happy. It doesn't say without faith it is impossible to please yourself. Does it say? It says without faith it is impossible to please God. It's God who gets pleased, not me. When I walk by faith, do you think I get pleased every day? I don't. If I walk by sight, I'll be very pleased. But God says, when you walk by faith, you may not be pleased. But remember, the center of the universe, James, is not you, it's me. When you walk by faith, your flesh may not be pleased at all. But you know what? I am pleased. And if God is the center of the universe, then I will continue walking by faith. If I am the center of my universe, I'll stitch aside and say, I like walking by sight. When Gideon started, God was the center of the universe. Lord, tell me what to do. He said, break the altar. He went and brought. Lord, what do me? Blow the trumpet. Okay. Lord, what should I do? He said, do this. He said, okay, fleece and other thing. And then he said, go to the enemy camp. He ever did. Then the victory came. When the victory came, suddenly it changed. Gideon is now the center of the universe, no longer God. Are you getting it? And that's what happens to all of us. There's a shift. And we are in trouble, we cry out, Lord, 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 Lord. Our worship increases, our prayer increases. We are there for fasting and prayer. We are there for every Bible study. Once the focus is shifted, we have come out of our trouble, then slowly we go back to where we become the center of our universe. Are you getting the picture? Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of. Why do young people struggle? Why do you struggle so much? It's because, you know what? Your eyes are filled with darkness. There's no light in your body. Where do you struggle? You struggle in your body. Because your body is full of, not full of, light. Why? Because you've been watching stuff for hours and hours and hours together. Now your body is full of darkness, not of light. And your body is struggling. We struggle. Are we watching? What are we reading? What are we listening to? Ask, what are we? Just chapter 16 and verse 1. Just one chapter. Two verses we look. 16 and verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and what is written? So what? How did he know it was a harlot? He's been watching harlots. He knows how harlots are dressed. It was a harlot. Already got knowledge and information about harlots. Okay? And now he saw a harlot and went into her. Verse 21 of the same chapter? Verse 21. Same chapter. End of the chapter. Nearly end of. Not even. Just 20 words later. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and became a grinder in the What did they put out first? What did he see in verse 1? He saw a harlot with his eyes, went after the harlot. 21 verses later, they put out his eyes. Now he sit there and grind for us. This is exactly what the enemy still does. He still does. You know what? Millions and millions of people sitting in churches around the world are still sitting at the enemy's mill and grinding grain for him because their eyes have been put out. You may think you have good vision, but the eye is full of darkness. I'm grinding corn for him. And when God says, do not set an evil thing before you, he's saying he's being too fundamentalistic, he being so radical and all that stuff. But the fact is that, how is it helping your soul? How is it helping you on the race to finish? How is it helping you? What is your focus? How is it helping you? You getting it? It's true 2000, so many thousand of years ago, about people of the 21st century hooked on to the movies and to the TV and to the internet. I'm only talking about Christians, believers who call themselves believers. We're not talking about others because we have got nothing. Rules are not for the world. The rules are only for his children, and rules are for protection. Anyone who breaks those rules is bringing trouble into his or her own life. Mark chapter 5 verse 9. We know the man, demon-possessed man whom Jesus found. And then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." This is the demon speaking to Jesus. What's his name? How many demons? 6,000. A legion is 6,000. How many? 6,000 demons in one man. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 55 and 56. 5 and 56. O death, where is your sting? O hates, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. You getting the picture? If that man had died without being saved, it would be eternal torment of 6,000 stings every second of eternity. We are talking about the 6,000 demons. Tormenting him not only when he is living, and into an eternity where there is no salvation. The sting is the sin. This is what God is trying to protect us from. He's talking to us about the reality. This is what will happen, he says. Get out, come under the blood. He says, get out and come under the blood. Because every sin will turn into a sting at the time of death and to torment all eternity if you are not saved by then. Another thing which we like even more, Psalm 32, verse 7. We love this. Not these words, I'm talking about the words talks about. You are my hiding place, we sing that song. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with. You shall surround me with what? So if there are songs of deliverance, there are songs of bondage also. What songs are songs of deliverance? The world's songs are songs of bondage. The enemy uses music to bring people into bondage. So difficult to believe, right? The true and the divine purpose of music is to worship God. You believe that? Do you believe that music originated in heaven? And was it given for entertainment or was it given for worship? Why do you think it is given now? For entertainment or for worship? Isaiah chapter 15, 14, verses 9 to 12. From beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. Oh, suddenly you have music in hell. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. There's a music director in heaven before his fall. That is his special talent. Beware of music that you listen to. You know what? Even communists know that. Atheists know that. You know what Vladimir Lenin said? Lenin, the communist idol. He said, one quick way to destroy a society is through its music. You know why young people are so rebellious, full of hate, full of violence, illicit sex, drugs, occult, everything. They get it from music. Most of it comes through music. And you look at the music, the instruments and the lyrics, it's all pushing people into, young people into rebellion and into violence. And we want to bring that and put some holy scriptures into it and bring that same music into the church without realizing music is a vessel. You be very careful about the vessel into which you bring stuff into the house. Rap and trap.
understand with the young generation sitting here, music is a tool that can either make you or break you. It can cast out devils or it can invite devils. It can do both, depending upon the music. Do you think Satan is content with that? You have the TV, you sit there and you watch. You go to a theater, you sit there and you watch. You sit there before the internet and you watch. Still you are passive. You are still passive. So we come to next stage of the 21st century. You have active video games where you can become a participant now. Whatever, you can choose what it is. Whether it is violence or rock or sex or games, whatever, you can be an active participant in it now. You can be an active participant. They even teach that in the universities, you know that? In the universities here in Hyderabad, they teach it. It's called cybersexuality. It's a course that is offered in our universities. How you can be free from everything. You don't have to feel guilty at all. You can be a participant because you are in cyberspace. Teach it. Has theory in our universities here in this city. I know. I have the papers with me. Deceitful and wicked the man's heart can be when you allow the enemy to get in. And these are the universities we are always pushing our children to write entrance exams to get into. But you are no longer a passive participant sitting there. You are an active participant. It can be as, it may look as innocent as a racing game. But now your whole idea is, I need to win. And if in the process I knock this car out and I win, it is okay. The only thing is win, 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 win. That's not what scripture says. That's not what scripture teaches people. That's not what God says. Getting it? How we are trapped by this world and we eat into it and then we start giving counsel and advice to others in our companies and offices. It is okay, it is cool, it is fine. God understands. God says, I don't understand. It's a trap. Tell people, if they are believers, get out. Get out of it. Point is that, ask any one of the young kids, they start sharing the feelings of the game. It's just a game. But you look at them while they are playing that game. It's not a game. It's real for them. They are an active participant. They are angry, they are violent, they are ecstatic, they are excited. They have become part of the game. And we think it's okay. This is the week of vacation for all our young children. No? 10 days vacation thanks to Dasara plus Telangana. And all the parents worry, how do I amuse my children? How do I keep them entertained? That's the usual worry of parents. It's interesting. What is a theist? What is a theist? Theist is somebody who believes in God. So what is an atheist? Muse means to think deeply. Amuse means not to think at all. Don't realize all these amusement things and amusement parks are designed by the enemy to see that you don't think. What is your life's purpose? Where are you heading to? How soon can the day of reckoning come? Stop. Don't think. If you think, you may change. Don't think. So we have many things designed specifically to, for a generation so that you don't think at all. Don't think. Don't think. Don't think. Things that never happened for 6,000 years is sold day and night to us. Sold. Come, come, bring your children here. We will keep them entertained. God talks about training your children. The world talks about entertaining your children. God says, train up the child the way he should go. The enemy says, no, entertain the child the way he will never depart from it. 40 years, 50 years, because he was entertained all his life, still within his PS2 and PS3. He will not see whether his wife and children has got food at home. He's still sitting there and playing. You know why? Because he was entertained all the way. And we think it's okay, it's cool. And God says it is not cool.
It is not cool. We have to look at the end of the journey. How is my son going to finish? How is my child going to finish? How am I going to finish? This is not about salvation. This is about finishing the race. Why are you confident you will finish the race? The questions we need to ask. Because train means to discipline. Entertain means to keep you occupied with things that are irrelevant. Amusement and entertainment. Did you know that when children of Israel were brought into the promised land, into the wilderness and into the promised land, God gave them also 7 festivals to celebrate? Did he give them? Somewhere 7 days, somewhere 8 days, but he gave them 7 festivals to celebrate. He understood the need that we need to relax. He knew that. He gave them 7 times a year. They were called Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Feast of the First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. You know what is special about all 7? It's all about Jesus. About Jesus. All the festivals was about God and about Jesus. All the festivals was about God and was about Jesus. Was it amusement? Yes. Was it entertainment? Yes. But about what was the focus? The focus was not man. The focus was God. Now ask yourself, what was the focus? What was the focus? Was it God or what was man? Where have we bought this lie that if I need to relax, I need to go on a trip for 7 days and I will be relaxed? I'm not saying there's anything wrong in taking a trip. Don't misunderstand me, okay? Please, but I'm saying that. But why do we feel that if I fast and pray and shut myself for 7 days, I will not be relaxed? Things got very difficult for Jesus and he was worn out. Then he told Peter, and get your boat, let me go on a trip. Did he say? The scripture says he left his disciples and went up to the mountains to pray. His soul focused and body focused, we want all these things. When you're spirit focused, we realize it's from my spirit my strength comes. Where my strength comes. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the other thing. I'm not saying at all. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying that when we start focusing it and focusing it and focusing it and selling it, you know, people all become miserable. All become miserable. Oh, my friend's parents took him for a vacation to Thailand and to Bangkok and all these places. I didn't go anywhere. It's a big deal. Why did we eat that lie? That if you don't go on a vacation, it is a very terrible thing. What were you doing? I was with my dad at church 7 days of my vacation. Oh, poor you. Why are you not able to say, I was so excited. I was really, really happy to be in the house of God. No, we don't read it that way. We don't see it that way. You know why? Because we have sold it to ourselves. This is the way to be cool, not the other way. How many vacations do you think the church in the book of Acts took? How many trips do you think they took? How many vacations do you think the pastors took? Have you ever asked this question? When Joseph became the prince of Egypt, the governor of Egypt, why didn't he take a trip and go to see his father? Because it is God's appointed place and he wouldn't move. Say, God has appointed me. This is where I stay. When God tells me to move, I will move. When God doesn't tell me to move, I don't go. Instead, God will move my father here. Getting the picture? Now, is there a fine example in the Bible like Joseph? Yes, he is an excellent example. Have all these vacations made our children more happy? No, they're only longing for more. And now this year, if you don't take them on a vacation, they are miserable. But if it was something really, really godly, this is what I tell my children. Honestly, I tell my children, this is what I tell. I said, you know what? Post-rapture, everything is free. Everything is free. If I take you, it will be a mission trip. I'm not taking you on a vacation. Unless there is purpose behind my trip, I'm not taking you. Are you okay with it? Okay with it. You tell them, ask them, every time I have taken them, have I gone with them to one place to watch a place of heaven? I left them with the local pastor, they took them. I never took a break. 7 days, 8 days in Bhutan, 6 days in Assam. I never went anywhere. They went with me. The others took and showed them the place. Even today, after being born in Bhutan, lived there for 18, 19 years, I have never gone out and seen, because I always was on mission trip. I don't feel I have lost anything. When I try to tell this, people get offended. You can't lose something which you don't have. You can't miss something which you haven't seen. Why is India so miserable? Because TV came in. Before TV came in, Indians were happy. Because they were content with what they had. Then all these ads came, all these pictures came, all these gadgets came, and everybody is miserable. Dasara season. Today morning, my son was sitting there and said, did you see this fact magazine which has come from Reliance Mart? All the discounts, everything offered for Dasara. I said, you know what? We will hire a car and we'll go buy 2 kgs of dal and 1 kilo of rice. We'll make some money. We're looking for LED TV, 15,000. LCD TV, 16,000. My TV doesn't look good anymore. Festival offer. Whose festival? You think during the Feast of Tabernacles they were offering discounts? On the Day of Atonement, the high priest was offering discounts? He was not offering any discount. I'm not saying that if you really need to buy something, you should be a wise steward. But you shouldn't be buying just because a discount is being offered. Being a good steward is wait for that time and maximize your money. Utility of your money. But we eat it. The problem is that not only we are eating it, we are selling it. And the problem is when we sell it, it has credibility. Because who is selling it? The believers are selling it. So it must be real. That's why I said when Gideon put up the effort, it became dangerous. Because who put it up? Gideon put it up. Who is Gideon? The one through whom God brought victory for Israel. When Aaron made a golden calf, it became dangerous. Who made it? The high priest made it. So the people have to believe it is okay, God. This is Israel, Elohim, who brought you out of Egypt. What does it look like? A calf. Who made it? Aaron made it. What if somebody else had made it? People wouldn't have been bothered. That's why we have to be careful what we sell. What we sell has credibility in the world. Because they look at you and said, okay, the Christian said it. Why has things all changed in the world? Because the West changed. And for a long period, for thousands of years, they looked at the West as from where Christianity came. Then the West changed. Now everything chalega. Why? Because Christianity has changed its face. It's okay. It's okay. You know what? It doesn't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. For whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, we wish it had stopped there, right? The problem is, after that what is written? Do all to the glory of God. Now how do I do that? That is problematic. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Working Sunday and doing something else without coming to church. Lord, I'm doing it for your glory. Deep inside you know it is not true. Anything. You know, if you take this and put it into your heart, whether it is for God's glory or not, you are very clear, this is not for God's. The Holy Spirit doesn't lie to your heart. It doesn't. The only problem is we don't want to ask this question. You know, Bach, the great composer, musician Bach, said, all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God. First, and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not, remember that is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub. He says, now he's talking about music, let us put into everything else. At the end of it, if it is not, does not glorify God, it's not of God. First thing about Bach, every composition of his, at the top, he will scribble JJ. Which means Jesus Jua, Jesus help me. Every composition he has written on the top, Jesus Jua, which means Jesus help me. And he ended every composition with the 3 letters, SDG, which means Soli Jai Gratia, which means to God alone be the glory. Can we begin something like that? Jesus help me. And at the end of it say, to God be the glory. and centric gospel, we will begin with Jesus help me, and then end by to me be the glory. That's how Gideon ended, by building a golden effort. To me be the glory. It is not. Where God is the glory, it is at Shiloh. To me be the glory, it is at Orpha. And that is what God is asking. Ask this question. At Orpha, who got the glory? Did God get or man get? It's very simple. Just ask the things you have been doing today till the moment you came to church. Who got the glory? God or you? Whom did you feed? The spirit or the flesh? Whom did we feed? God says, you can always change. Today can be a new beginning where you say, Lord, I really want to separate. It's about you. It's not because of what Pastor James said. You cannot do this for Pastor James. You will finish the course at the rabbit hole only if you have seen the rabbit. You can run after a rabbit because you heard somebody else bark. All those who started that way gives up after some time. Abraham started because he heard. Lot followed because he followed Abraham. Abraham ended in his old age, died and was buried by his sons. Lot is found huddling in a cave with two daughters, having brought two abominations into the world. Both started the same journey, same place, same home, same household, ended up in two different places. Because one ate God's word, believed that, the other ate the lie of the enemy. He got caught in the worldwide web. Don't get caught in it, children, don't get caught in it. You don't have to keep on coming to me saying, Pastor, help me. How many of you have come? Help me with that, help me with this, help me with that. There are stuff you know you shouldn't be doing. It's as simple as that. You know you shouldn't be doing. And if you keep on doing that, it's the same route all over again. And the whole book of Judges and the church history is that they went back into the same route. Salvation is not an option. It's a necessity if you want to finish the race. Everything God has given, you can use it for good or you can misuse it, including your simple telephone, mobile. All the young people sitting over here, do you delete your SMSs after you have sent it? Smiles on faces. We have nothing to hide. Why do you have to delete? Let me ask all the young girls sitting over here, will you show your mama all your SMSs? Your memory is full. Will you give it to your mother and say, Mom, read my SMSs and delete it? Do you have the courage to do that? You are so fast. You have sent it and deleted it in 20 seconds. For men also. Men are more difficult to ask that question because they don't care even if somebody reads. The question is, God were to do an inventory, where would we stand today? We don't study the Word of God for entertainment. We study the Word of God for training. Training in godliness, in discipline and holiness. And we need to be progressing that way. It comes with obedience. Doesn't come any other way. And if you believe internet is choking you, I would say if you definitely need internet, get filters. Buy, spend. Rishi is there, he will help you to install your software in your laptop. Do it. Go. Tell a brother, I'm struggling with this. Don't come to me, I told you. I said, go to Vijay. If you're a man, go to Vijay. Call him up and say, I myself make accountable, brother. Please pray with me. It doesn't matter. He doesn't sleep. Usually. So call him up at 1 in the morning when you're tempted, 2 in the morning. Because this is about your finishing your race. This is about. What if Samson had listened to his father and mother? They told him, please son, don't go after this woman. He didn't listen to them. How would he have ended? Did he listen? He didn't listen. Did he make himself accountable? No, he didn't make himself accountable. This is a simple thing to make yourself accountable if you want to finish the race. And you young children, today especially, I can only preach to you, but today I told him I want you to listen to my message very clearly. Because now you have understood what these things are. I told him I want you to listen. Don't get hooked to it. Don't get into it. It's not It's not good for you. It's not good for you. You need to look. Right now when we are doing it, our children are mad with us. The scripture says, later they will be grateful because the reward is righteousness. Now they will be mad. They're forever comparing. My friend has that, my friend has this. Girls will be comparing, my friend has this and that dress and this dress. And why do I have to be like that? Because you are separated. You are a separated child. I don't like this separation. I'm sorry. As long as you live under my roof, you are separated whether you like it or not. Once you are 18 and start earning your salary and go, then it's up to you. I don't want to be separated. Well, you stay under this roof, you are separated. We really, really struggle. I'm telling you, all this will count at the end. At the end of the race, when we stand there before confidence, scripture says you can stand with confidence before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat because you have dealt with everything. Now you are walking in victory. You can stand there before Him and look Him in the face and say, Lord, I have arrived. I did what you told me to do. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? As far as the whole world is watching, he's doing the most ridiculous set of things. But when he finished, he said, Lord, I have done everything according to your word. Now prove yourself. Meaning, you can judge me. Judge me. I've done exactly according to your word. You can judge me. And God said, I will judge you. I'm judging with fire. Later, what you hear is the sound of thunder and rain. The blessings are coming. You want to put it? The rewards are coming because a man has been judged and found faithful, and the rewards are coming. The servant said, I don't see anything. He said, go back and see. You will see. 7 times he went. Final time he said, I see a cloud rising like a fist. He said, that's it. It's coming. The hand of God is rising over a nation. Because one man was faithful. One man. That's all it takes. One man. That's all it takes. Take things lightly.